Dear Rudy, for the past 20 years, I've traveled alone, unfettered, a paperback my only carry-on. But my travel routine changed radically on a recent cross-country flight to visit my son, Matt, in California. "Hey, Dad," he said, "can you bring my upright string bass with you?" "Sure," I said. "No problem." "Wrong." A string bass, you see, is as fragile as a violin and as bulky as an NFL linebacker. Not the kind of thing you can entrust to the airline baggage gorillas. Got to get a ticket for it. So, my adventure in flying stupidity started with a call to the airline. I got Brenda, who wasn't very musical.
"String bass," she said. "Is that like a trombone? I see trombone on my list. You can also bring a saxophone or cello, but nothing about a string bass here."
I said, "Okay, call it a cello." I figured the ticket would be about half my $250 round-trip fare. After all, the bass wouldn't need a snack or be checking any baggage. Wrong.
"Okay," said Brenda, "same flight as you. Let's see, that'll be $945 for a one-way ticket. Nearly four times what I was paying for my round trip."
And here's where you come in, Rudy. Remember how you always recommend buying a round-trip ticket even if you're only going one way? Well, it works, even for a bass. I ended up with a $350 non-transferable round-trip ticket in the name of Bob LaBasse. So now, if he chooses to, Bob LaBasse can fly the return leg, provided he gets a photo ID. On the day of the flight, I confidently approached the ticket counter with Bob LaBasse, neatly attired in his trendy black canvas case. I thought we were all set. Wrong. The ticket agent stepped back, arms crossed tightly, his scowl alternating between Bob LaBasse and me.
"It's a cello," I said. "No, it isn't. That's a bass, an upright string bass." "Okay, but it's not baggage. I have a ticket for it."
As he handed us two boarding passes, I figured we were all set. Wrong. We were still 25 feet away from the security gate when the guard shouted, "Hey, hold it right there," reaching for a stun gun with one hand and walkie-talkie with the other.
"It's a cello," I said.
"Cello? No way."
"Okay, it's a string bass."
He still didn't buy it.
"Open it up."
After about 10 minutes of peering into Bob's innards, he relented.
"Go ahead. There's no way he'll fit on the plane anyway. He'll be back in a minute."
Strolling down the jetway, I figured we were all set. Wrong. Boarding the plane, I hoisted Bob LaBasse over my head, wondering why my son couldn't have chosen the clarinet like I did. Winded, I finally arrived at our seats in the next to last row. The stewardess and I tried sticking the fat part down, the fat part up, the fat part facing the window. We finally found a way with his neck down and the fat part cantilevered from the floor to right in front of my seat, 1 inch from my nose. Each tiny bump caused Bob LaBasse to jog back a half inch and my head to jog forward a half inch. My nose was as hard and flat as the base by the time we got to San Francisco. My son was waiting for us at the gate with an ear-to-ear grin.
"Thanks, Dad. I never thought you'd pull it off. Do you know a string bass is too big to fly on a plane? A cello's the biggest thing they allow."
What could I do but smile? "Matt, just don't take up the piano," I begged.
"If you're flying across the country, baby, take my advice and fly alone. Flying across the country, baby, take my advice and fly alone. When you're flying across the country, baby, leave your string bass at home."
Russ Thibault is the president of Applied Economics Research in Laconia, New Hampshire, and the composer of that original string-based blues recording you've been enjoying.